Good day and welcome. I'm Paul Levoy.
And I'm Sarah Riven.
And this is Week in Brief, your weekly roundup of the biggest news in regulation, licensing, and digital government.
Today, we'll be discussing the top stories for the week of March 13th, including Pennsylvania's moves to address teacher shortages, Nova Scotia's latest effort to attract U.S. doctors, how states have taken action against fraudulent nurse diplomas, and more.
Sarah, why don't you get us started by telling us about what's happening to address teacher shortages in Pennsylvania?
Democrats in Pennsylvania rolled out a package of bills aimed at addressing teacher shortages in the state this week. Included in the package are essentially five measures. The first is a bill to raise the minimum teacher salary to $50,000 per year. They've also included a bill calling for a $20 per hour minimum wage for paraprofessionals such as bus drivers and cafeteria workers. A third proposal would increase grant programs to support high-need schools to recruit community members into the teaching professions, so parents, current students, and more. They also want to introduce a bill to increase loan forgiveness for teachers in Pennsylvania, and also to add scholarship for students who will stay in Pennsylvania once they've graduated. And lastly, they want to introduce a mentor program for new teachers.
What's led to this sizable package of bills?
Research shows the number of new teachers certified each year has declined from 20,000 in 2010 to less than 7,000 every year in 2021. There has also been a 300% rise in the number of educators who are teaching with emergency credentials, which means they are not fully qualified for their work. Either they're teaching a different grade or a different subject than what they set out to teach. Nearly 20% of teachers also work a second job. So all of this has resulted in larger class sizes, increased workload, and higher rates of burnout among teachers.
What's next?
Well, as I mentioned, this package of legislation was introduced by Democrats. Democrats have a quite narrow majority in the House, but Republicans have the majority in the Senate. The governor is a Democrat, Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro. So I think we can expect a compromise package to become law, as Democrats and Republicans will likely have to navigate how to work together on this issue. Paul, let's shift gears. What is Nova Scotia doing to attract U.S. physicians?
Well, as you'll know, access to care is a struggle just about anywhere you look in Canada or the U.S. right now. But the Canadian province of Nova Scotia is changing the rules around what's required to practice in medicine in the province. It will be the first province in Canada to accept certified physicians from the U.S. without requiring additional testing. That's the key part. The new licensure model is in part meant to attract Nova Scotians who trained in the province but got licensed in the U.S.
What does it mean for U.S. physicians who want to practice in Nova Scotia?
Specifically, the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Nova Scotia has agreed to accept U.S. board certified physicians without the need for them to write Royal College exams first. Previously and up to now, a requirement. Doctors from outside the U.S. will still require provisional licensing pending completion of the royal exams, and the college may consider offering similar privileges to physicians from countries with similar healthcare standards. Dr. Gus Grant, who's the CEO of the college, put it this way. If you were a professor at Harvard in cardiology and you wanted to come to Nova Scotia to get in touch with your Celtic roots, can you imagine how insulted you'd be if I said you had to challenge the Royal College exams before you got a full license?
So what's next?
Though Nova Scotia is the first province to make this kind of move, it's expected that other provinces will discuss similar measures to fight the medical professional shortages, which are everywhere. While we're on healthcare, I understand some U.S. states are clamping down on fraudulent diplomas. What's happening there?
Yeah, licensing officials in multiple states are working to stop nurses with fraudulent credentials from caring for patients. This problem arose after three Florida schools were accused of selling thousands of bogus diplomas. New York, Delaware, Washington, Texas have all taken action, and more states are expected to act as well. New York regulators actually told more than 900 nurses to either surrender their licenses or prove they were properly educated. And this is all a result of Operation Nightingale. Federal investigators say these three now closed Florida nursing schools sold phony diplomas and transcript. Students paid $15,000 for bogus diplomas, and around 2,400 of them passed a licensing exam and then went on to get jobs around the country.
How is this impacting nurses' licensing in these states?
Yeah, so because these nurses got jobs across the country, including in Georgia, Maryland, New York, Ohio, and New Jersey, there are a lot of nurses caught up in this issue. The big concern is that nurses who legitimately earn diplomas are concerned that they'll get caught up in this investigation. So there's a lot of fear among nurses about this investigation.
Right. What's next?
So states are all addressing this issue differently. Many states have rescinded or denied licenses outright. As I mentioned, New York did that. 23 nurses in Texas are facing possible license revocations, but those nurses are able to continue working while their disciplinary cases are pending. In total, 25 defendants have been charged, and those cases are also still pending. So I think this is a wait and see situation, but we can expect some additional action to be taken going forward to address this issue. So, Paul, this is a fun one that actually sparked a conversation about different vocabulary in the states and Canada. So UConn has tabled reforms to its licensing process. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, sure. So the government of UConn has tabled legislation to reduce licensure barriers. Now let's first clarify what we mean by tabling, because in Canada, where I'm located, and amongst British English speaking countries, tabling means to present something formally for discussion or further consideration, whereas I understand that's at opposition to the American U.S. understanding of tabling, which would be?
Yeah, in the United States, tabling means postponing something or removing it from consideration for right now. So definitely not the same context for understanding what's happening with licensing reforms in UConn.
Yeah, it's especially confusing. But for the purposes of this story, the government of UConn has presented legislation for consideration, and that legislation would reduce licensure barriers and create a more modern online licensing and registration system within the province. It's called Bill 27, and it would amend existing legislation by killing some licensing restrictions and bringing registration processes up to speed with other jurisdictions in Canada.
So what do the reforms mean for licensees?
Well, the new legislation would eliminate paper-based filings and also require applicants to submit less private information for licensure. Regulators would also be able to approve forms instead of prescribing them, and online declarations would replace affidavits and sworn statements.
Does this measure affect all licensed professionals?
According to the Minister of Community Services, Richard Mostyn, the bill would streamline licensure for principally collection agents, insurers, and insurance professionals, as well as private investigators and security service providers. So not all professions at this juncture.
What's next?
Well, the bill has been tabled, and first and second readings have to get underway in the Legislative Assembly, and that should happen sometime in the spring session. Well, that's all for this week. I'm Paul.
And I'm Sarah.
Don't forget to sign up for Ascend Magazine's Week in Brief. The link is in the show notes. And subscribe to Ascend Radio.